You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
How we doing? It's 4 o'clock here on a Friday afternoon in New York City. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. If you've missed any of the program, you could rewind on the Odyssey app to the very beginning of this show, talking about Jalen Brunson and his ankle issues, Draymond Green being a real jackass, and about 40 minutes ago or so, Sal Licata soundly defeated Sean Morash in overtime by a final score of 2400-0 in Jeopardy Tiki version. Now, coming up in just a few minutes, I'm very excited. The committee here at WFAN has finally made a call on our countdown of the most beloved almost champions in New York sports. And for those that are just tuning in, it's down to two. So we know the two. We're just not sure who's going to be number one and who's going to be number two. We've got the 2000 New York Football Giants and the 2001 New York Yankees. And in the next 5 minutes, we'll get that answer. We get to some of your phone calls. A lot of passion on Juan Soto saying earlier today in a clip from a new podcast he is doing in Espanol that he actually took less money to sign with the New York Mets. Let's go to Kevin in New York. How are you, Kevin?
Good. How are you guys doing? Love the show.
Appreciate you.
Thought the Jeopardy thing was great.
Appreciate it.
My question is,
yes,
and I asked this to Tommy.
Yes.
Is this guy the first guy that ever asked Juan Soto if this was the most money that the Mets offered?
I kind of think so,
this
because
is the first guy to actually ask the question?
Yeah, no,
I find that hard to believe.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think back to his press conference, right? I don't think anyone said point blank, did you take the most money? So it seems like an obvious thing, but I don't recall, and I guess we could go back and listen to the press conference. Maybe I will on my flight to Florida. I'm going to spring training just to see if I have missed it. But I don't think anyone asked it point blank.
I also think this just needs to
because I don't think people really care, as Sean said.
They don't. But there's also a piece of context that I think is important to bring up now that I didn't think was important on Monday. And that is what Andy Martino had thrown out there on SNY on Monday. Evan, did you catch this?
Yes.
That Juan Soto, you know, likes his time in the Mets, but is missing his Yankee teammates and stuff.
Mm.
Very subtle. Really not a big deal. Those are his friends.
By the way, pissed off a lot of Mets fans on social media. I don't think we addressed it here. I did talk about it on the Rico Bronya.
Okay.
It was something Andy said during Baseball Night in New York. By the way, hi, SNY. Mm. It was on SNY. And I, after it was said, because I saw how Mets fans were pissed off about it, I went back to find out, like, was he reporting it? Was it an opinion?
Right.
And it kind of came across like it was an observation, which is not reporting, but it's, by the way, he can say that.
Right, it's not.
Andy covers the team.
Soto was like, I really miss my Yankee teammates.
Exactly. Or it wasn't, I spoke to someone close to him who told me it. But I think it was more an observation, which is fine, which is why I never got mad about it, but a lot of Met fans did.
That's exactly my point. And I'm a Yankee fan. I didn't even take it as, oh, he wants to be back with the Yankees. I think it's just a natural human instinct.
Of course.
But that was
the whole season where you went to the World Series, you know, however long that season is, with the group of dudes. So, you become close to them.
So that goes out there, and maybe it's just a groundswell for however many percentage of Met fans that get upset.
Yeah.
Juan Soto and his $800 million worth of team, you're telling me nobody paid attention to that and got
funny,
to his mind, and that helps appease Met fans?
So related to that, that comes out. It becomes like a social media frenzy because Met fans were very angry with Andy. Like, like the heads were exploding. And then that night, the Mets were televised on SNY, and Soto was seen with a bunch of his teammates, like, hugging and laughing. Yeah. And that caused the firestorm because Met fans are like, see? See, he loves it here. Look.
Who cares if he loves it here or if he misses the Yankees? Exactly. As long as he mashes and is great, and when the regular season starts, be happy.
That's it. Or just don't demand a trade. Like, don't become so miserable. Right. Like, this turns into Kevin Durant, and he's like, get me out of here.
Well, he's not going to be miserable.
I know.
Like, why do you think he's going to be miserable?
I'm not saying he's going to be miserable. I'm saying just don't be miserable. That's when I would care. But I don't know, and I think it's a stretch, with all due respect, Sean, to think that Juan Soto in an interview in Espanol that may have even been recorded before Andy Martino had his observation and before Met fans were freaking out, to think that the two are connected.
Okay.
I tend to believe Juan Soto is giving an answer that just wasn't reported from most of the media, that there was another team, whether it's Toronto or L.A., who happened to offer him more. The thing you should feel better about, which is why I'm surprised this is like a battle, it clearly wasn't the Yankees, so you don't have to live with like the disrespect that he left the Yankees for the Mets and took less money. That clearly didn't happen, so what are we upset about?
Nobody's upset. It's not a part of me that's upset. In fact, I'm trying to understand why any Met fan would care if he didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's an ounce of Yankee fandom coming through me.
Well, you should be very proud, because we are about to find out from the committee, number two and number one in Almost Champions. It's been a countdown going on all this week in which we have honored the most beloved Almost Champions in New York sports. And I'm very jealous, because the final two contestants are teams I do not root for. Teams that Sean roots for, and one team that Tiki was on. I mean, and I got to tell you, I love you. Yeah. And I respect the 2000 Giants. Is the committee showing some kind of pro-Tiki bias right now?
I think clearly they are. I mean,
why would they do that?
I'm trying to kiss your ass.
The 2000 Giants team was amazing.
It was.
Absolutely, no doubt.
One of the funnest runs you could ever have been on. And it culminated in the greatest game you could ever play at home.
And with all due respect to the Jets, there is only on this entire list one football team that in this town that reached a Super Bowl and lost. And I think we all can all understand, when you have a two-week build-up to a Super Bowl, those once-a-week playoff games, Evan, kiddo, maybe you'll learn it one day when the Jets get to a Super Bowl. Something still magical in hindsight as the years pass after a team has lost.
What I am so curious about in that regard is...
That's crazy when you say it like that.
Well, it's true.
It's the only... Yeah. The 2000 Giants are the only football team in our lifetime, basically, that went to and lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah, of Jets-Giants. Obviously, forget the Buffalo Bills. The Jets only went to one, they won it. The Giants have been to five, they won four of them. So, yes, it's true. And I've always been curious. Like, I've seen, and this list certainly entailed it, a lot of teams I've watched and rooted for. The 2015 Mets, the 2000 Mets, the 02 Nets, the 03 Nets, right? They were part of my life. I saw my team get close. Never seen them win a championship. I've always wondered, if I saw the Jets in a Super Bowl and they lost, what would I be like?
Would you be proud of them? Or would you be upset that they lost and they missed the opportunity to be a champion? That's an interesting question from a fan standpoint.
If it's anything like how I feel about the Nets and the Mets, I'd be pissed. Like, I still, as much as I appreciate those teams, there are still moments from losing that bother me to this day. So I assume I'm still going to have that anger. With that said, now obviously as we reveal number two, you'll then subsequently know number one. Here it is. The team that finished number two in Almost Champions.
Number two, the 2000 New York Giants.
Get off my coach's backs. Get off the players' backs. I'm responsible for the whole thing. I'm raising the stakes right now. This is a poker game. I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, can get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
Dixon will take it from his own four. Up to the 10, 15, breaks right 20, 25, 30. There goes Dixon to the outside. It's a foot race. Ron Dixon in midfield. Ron Dixon's going to score. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. No flags.
Lobbed
it back corner of the end zone for Toomer. He's got a touchdown! Oh, what a play by Collins! He just outworked the defensive back, Robert Tate. The final score, the Giants 41, the Vikings nothing.
There it is, the 2000. You should be proud. That is a good ranking. It's number two. So congratulations, then, to what finished in first place. Before we discuss this in depth, we now know number one. So, ladies and gentlemen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
The most beloved almost champion in New York sports.
Number one, the 2001 New York Yankees.
Trying to end it in five games. Cameron into right field. Spencer, Yankees for the fourth year in a row have a date with the Fall Classic.
So I got to tell you, man, I'm going to get emotional talking about this, and I am not a Yankee fan. I thought about this long and hard.
Right.
Because I have great respect for what your team accomplished. I have great respect for the Yankees. I have great respect, obviously, for the teams I root for. The more I gave this thought, the more the 2001 Yankees deserve everything. I don't like the Yankees. At least back then, I didn't. What they did is so ridiculous when you think about it. I want you to think about all this for a second. They're in the middle of a dynasty. Cool. They went to a fourth straight World Series. Mm-hmm. Cool. They're down 0-2 to the Oakland A's. Come back. Cool. They beat one of the greatest regular season teams in the history of the sport, the Seattle Mariners. That's all cool. But they did something else that no other team has. Not the Mets, not the Jets, nobody. I can play you clips from that World Series, the one they lost. Mm-hmm. and you will tear up and you will get emotional and your spine will tingle in a happy way, even though they lost the series. And yes, it has a lot to do with September 11th and the emotions we all felt in this city right after.
Right.
But what they did in that World Series, and I admit I was rooting against them, but the more I hear the clips over and again, over and over again, the more I'm like, man, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? As much as I hated the Yankees. So, I get it. In fact, I got to play a few things for you. Okay, because if this doesn't make you tear up, I don't know what will. Let me start with Joe Torre. I had never heard this before. The Yankees just beat the Mariners. 116 wins. They're going to the World Series. And they're calm, Teak. They're not even celebrating. It's a very casual celebration. And there could be two reasons for this. Number one, fourth straight, no big deal.
Right.
But that's not the real reason. The real reason is because how the hell could they celebrate?
Right. A month and a half after.
How could they?
Yeah, you can't.
And I think that's a part of it. So Joe Torre had a glass of wine in his hands in front of his players. And he made this speech that was captured on TV. And I must have missed it. Here it is, if you haven't heard it for the first time, after the Yankees won the American League pennant.
I have no idea what I'm going to say, but I'm going to try it. Guys, I have never been prouder of a group of men in my life. Whatever motivated us, I know the NY and your cap did a great deal of it because of what went on September 11th. But to be down 0-2 to one of the best clubs in Major League Baseball and to never doubt yourself. There's nothing that could ever buy that for you, boys. I want to tell you that right now. I am so proud. You are, and I've had some championship clubs. I haven't done this for a long time in my life, but this ball club will be remembered by me forever because you had heart as big as this city, and you showed what being New Yorkers is all about. God bless you.
Yeah!
I mean,
yeah.
I think this is the first time I ever thought this. I'm listening to this when I was doing research, and I said to myself, this is the first time I actually regret that I rooted against them.
You rooted against them in this World Series?
The whole time. Yeah. I didn't like the Yankees. Like, they're in the middle of a dynasty. It's very normal, but...
How old were you in this?
I was 18 years old.
So you weren't old enough to realize... Like, the history of it. Like, to be on the wrong side of that history.
Well...
Meaning, just rooting history.
Because
obviously, we're all rooting for New York.
But of course.
Fandom history. But I think in real time, because we experienced this as a Giant team, like, we were so much a part, at least we felt so much a part of that recovery, because sports was a distraction.
Absolutely.
As became a cliche over those, and during that time period, where it gave you something else to think about other than... the tragedy that's literally sitting right in front of you.
Right.
And so sports was a tonic that was, I don't know, it was so important and necessary because where else were you getting that?
Right.
You just weren't.
You're right.
So when the Yankees went to the World Series, and again, it felt like it was going to be over quick, and then they blitzed through three in a row, or at least not really because they went extra innings in a couple of those, but it just felt like it was destined to happen.
It felt destined, and like I remember the arguments I had at the time because I'm 18 years old. 9/11 was fresh in my mind. It scared the crap out of me. It scared the crap out of all of us. We all lost people we knew. And yet what I would say to people was, yeah, I'm not rooting for the Yankees because it's baseball. Like, that's it. It's nothing personal. I love my city. I can't root for the Yankees. It's like, there's nothing crazy right. about that. And I've stood by that for 20 years. Like, why wouldn't I? But I think listening back to that, listening back to some of the, we got to play two more of that. I mean, I'm going to hear it. I'm going to get teared up. And I can't believe it because I didn't like the Yankees at the time. Made me think, oh my God, they're doing this. And the one that really jumps out at me, I know I sent you a few, Tommy. It's the Brocious one. So the Yankees were down 2-0. They win game three. They stunningly win game four. That's when Tino the Bambino hit the home run to tie it. The next night, they're in the same situation. And Scott Brocious hit a home run to tie it. I think this is John Sterling's greatest call of his entire career. I don't think there's anything better than this. And this is why, to me, no offense to any other team that we talked about, your team, the Mets teams, it is just not close. It's always been the 0-1 Yankees. It should be the 0-1 Yankees. We need to acknowledge the 0-1 Yankees because no team could lose a series or a game and have moments that still make you tear up and smile the way the 0-1 Yankees. Here's Scott Brosius tying the game in the ninth inning of Game 5.
Posada is the base runner, so Brosius, of course, the tying run with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Now Kim, 1-0. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is good. I don't believe it. Once again, deja vu. A two-out, game-tying two-run home run by Scott Brosius. Probably the most unbelievable feat in World Series history. Scott Brosius ties the game with a two-run home run. What was it Al Michaels said?
Tremendous call by John, and a tremendous series, even though they lost. More on this in a few minutes, but we have a Jalen Brunson update. So let's go to our Jalen Brunson ankle desk and find out the latest. Of course, late last night in the game against the Lakers in overtime, it appeared to be a sprained ankle. We opened the show with it at 2 o'clock. Obviously, big concerns about the severity of it. What's the latest on Jalen Brunson?
Okay, this is from Ian Begley, of course, SNY. I don't know the severity of JB's ankle injury, but the x-ray of the injury last night came back negative. Well, initial image showed no broken bones.
So that's good.
Well, it's not the bones you worry about. It's the ligaments that you have to worry about.
So what does that tell you, if anything?
Well, I mean, I didn't think it was a broken bone. It's the ligament damage that determines the grade of the sprain, as we were talking about earlier, whether that's grade 1, 2, or 3. 3 obviously is a long time, 3 to 6 months. I mean, 3 to 6 weeks, whereas grade 1, it could be a couple weeks.
Yeah, grade 1 is 1 to 2 weeks. Grade 2 is 3 to 6. A grade 3, which is a disaster, is 6 to 12.
Yes.
Which is the playoffs, clearly.
Right. Right. I mean, that's months. If it's the back end of that, he's not playing for the rest of the season.
So that determination doesn't tell us really the answer.
No, it doesn't.
So it's an update, but it's still not the update I think we're looking for. And I wonder sometimes with the Knicks, are we going to get that update? Are we going to get, okay, here's what it is. It's a grade 1, it's a grade 2, it's a grade 3. Or will this be kind of clouded in mystery for a while?
I would guess the way they do business, it's going to be clouded in mystery. We're not going to find out. It's just one of these days. Hopefully it's in the next couple of weeks. He'll be questionable.
Yeah.
That's how they, I mean, that's the same. That's what happened with OG.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago. It was, man, he could be out for 2 months. Oh, wait, he's questionable. And he plays 2 days later.
Right.
The only good thing, not good thing, but the only thing that we might get the real answer is Brunson has a podcast. So he could just say whatever the heck he wants on that. We don't have to worry about the Knicks giving us information. He does a podcast.
The reason I'd say don't get your hopes up is I think he pre-records a lot of his episodes. Like, I don't
know, but they're
going
to have to put
out
a couple in the can here.
Right, they're not topical of what's happening right now.
Like,
they're evergreen, so you can throw them anytime.
The podcast he's going to record now will be aired in about 9 weeks. So,
you as a podcast person, you think that they pre-record 9 weeks
in advance?
I'm not. Evan's podcast are very different.
Yeah.
Not in the offseason, they're not.
Well, the Rico Bronya is mostly about what's happening now. But even in the offseason, he'll throw one in about what just happened yesterday.
Yeah, it's not the same at all. He's also a professional athlete who tours, who's in different cities the time.
Right.
So I don't actually know how many weeks delayed it is, but they're not talking about current events a lot on their podcast.
Right.
It's interviews. Like, they have a James Dolan interview.
That
could have been interviewed, like, 3 months ago.
Because in the podcast they dropped about a week ago, they discussed the 0-7 at the time to elite teams. So they were talking about something topical.
So maybe they do have some that are updated.
So you never know. But yeah. And I do think if this was, I hate speculating, but I do think if this was worst case, they would tell us. If he was
if he was going to miss up until the playoffs, yeah.
Because you know what? That's totally unfair to your fan base if
you
do that.
You would hope they would.
Right. You better tell us he's out for the year if he is. That's just unfair for the fans to have to sit here day by day when you know that he's out.
How long would it usually take for them to know how severe that sprain is?
A couple of days.
Okay. So there you go. It hasn't been 24 hours.
And they are on the West Coast.
Right.
So I'm sure they have, I don't know, reciprocation at some hospital or imaging place. But we probably won't get full clarity until they're back here.
Yeah. So the truth is that update really didn't tell us anything.
Right.
Just to be honest with you.
But thank you, Sean. We appreciate you.
Thank you anyway. Now, Sean, as a Yankee Giant fan, are you good with the results from the committee or not really?
it's very.
So wait, to tell me, how old were you in 2000?
So this is perfect. The 2000 Yankees, 2000 Giants, and the 2001 Yankees. We're talking about my ages 13 and a half to 15 years old. Mm. And now you can imagine as a
sports
fan. Right,
so you were
fan,
heavily in the impressionable
exactly.
years. Right.
To me, and this is very personalized, the 2000 Giants are, forget the teams that have won or lost, my favorite sports team of all time. Mm. So I know that sounds crazy because I love the 2001 Yankees too, of course, everything they did for the city. But there was always something, and I guess maybe this lends to the football stuff. As much as I love the baseball, the hockey, the best, the once-a-week aspect, and for the first time in your life, the impressionable age, your football team gets an invitation to the party.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? Like the Super Bowl. Think about the NBA Finals, the World Series. That's great. The Super Bowl? The Giants are going to the freaking Super Bowl? There was something about it. Also, they were scrappy. Underdogs. Mm-hmm. The Jim Fossil speech. The moments that happened
throughout.
Which, by
the way, is maybe one of the most brilliant speeches right. in the history of New York sports. Because if we don't turn it around, he's fired.
He's fired.
Big, and if we do, he's a genius.
Big wins versus the Cowboys. Then you get the Eagles, the hated Eagles at home in the divisional round. You start the game with a kick return for a touchdown. Right. One of the most amazing pick sixes.
No offensive touchdown in that game.
Mm. Yeah, the season starts with the lightning bolt, the thunderstorm. It starts the thunder and lightning. There's something about the 2000 team that, to this day, like I have posters, everything else, it, I don't know. Like, to me, that solidified me as a football fan forever was that team.
And the 0-1 Yankees means what to you? Because I get it. It's at the end of a dynasty. Yeah, like, there's a weird sadness to it. Because I'll never forget, Francesa said to me, I think he called in once during a show because we were talking about, like, worst losses. And he said, Game 7-0-1 was the worst.
I mean, it had to be. You had Mariano on the mound.
I get
with the
it.
Lead.
I'm not arguing that. It was when Alfonso Soriano hit the game-winning home run in the eighth inning, that John Sterling also had another brilliant call for what we thought was the game-winning home run in the eighth inning. Like, you thought you were about to win a fourth straight World Series. Mm-hmm. I get it, but I think when you incorporate all the other things we talked about, despite it featuring this brutal loss at the end, like, they beat the 116-win Mariners. They had these incredible comebacks in the World Series. It was after 9/11. They were, I don't know. Maybe that's my bias as a fan of neither team, actually.
Right.
No, you know?
I've obviously lived through bad Yankee postseason losses, right? And this past World Series, maybe I'll look back on a little better as the years go on. But 2003 bothers me to no end. I think it's twofold with 0-1, and that's why they do deserve to be right there. 1 or 2 is the idea of 9/11 and the idea of you lived with the losses because of the magical nights, especially those couple nights at Yankee Stadium. The Mr. November. Think about all the World Series they won. Jeter's finest moment is Mr. November in a World Series loss.
Well, that's the crazy part. Like,
yeah, you can enjoy it in a loss with baseball where you can't in football.
Right.
But the Super Bowl, like the final game.
Yes. So take the two, obviously your game. There's no,
you know what? The Yankees won games. The Giants didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got destroyed.
The Giant one is easy because it is one game you got destroyed. So we put that aside. But let's look at the Knicks and the Nets and the Mets, the teams that had series. You know, mm-hmm. they won games in those series. There is nothing, I'm sorry, in the Knicks of 94, the Knicks of 99, the Mets of 15, the Mets of 2000, there's nothing in those individual games that comes anywhere close
right.
to Tino, to Jeter, to Soriano, and to Brocious, which is my personal favorite of
right.
it. Like, they're ridiculous. They're in Yankee lore, even though they lost the series, and you can't say that about any other best-of-seven series loss that we've seen.
I completely agree. And you're coming off a three-peat, too. So it softens that you walk away going, all right, it wasn't like that was our only chance we've seen in our life to get there. I know that sounds very piggish, but it's also the truth.
I promise I'm not being a jerk here. That 2001 series, in all my life as a sports fan, that is the most stunned I've ever been at an outcome. I thought for sure, just like everyone else, when Soriano hit that homer, that it was over.
Mm.
Well, like, I was stunned disbelief when they lost that.
But you know what? It's funny about that. It was the second most stunned I was in the series. Because the first most stunned, I'm sorry, was Scott Brocious. Like, when the Yankees are down on their backs again, they already had the magic last night. Mm. That's the way I looked at it. They already did it last night. When Scott Brocious, down to the final out, does it again against BK Kim, I will argue that's actually the most stunned I think I've ever been watching sports. Because I'm like, no. No. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And I was angry, I admit it. Like, because I'm an 18-year-old kid who didn't like the Yankees.
I mean, they just beat the Mets in the World Series the year before. There was a lot of hatred
That's
there,
why
for sure.
I feel good saying I rooted against them. But I also feel good in 2025, with a clear head 24 years later, to say, you know what? it would have been cool if they won. Mm. And that's okay.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, if they won that World Series, obviously they don't win this little contest because they would have won the World Series. But would that really have changed my life as a Yankee hater in any kind of way? So I didn't have the Luis Gonzalez. So they have one more title. What difference does it make?
And you got to dance in 03 and 04 anyway on the Yankees.
Right.
Had we known that going ahead, looking ahead, perhaps we would have been okay with them winning in 01.
But that's why I'm saying it today. And it's the first time I've ever uttered it or ever thought it. I look back on it and say, they should have won the World Series. I would have been good with it. Now I would have been good with it.
They should have.
They should have. And that's why they deserve this.
The problem is a very tall man named Randy Johnson.
I would say the big problem was Mariano Rivera making a bad throw.
That's true. We don't need to play the infield in either. Right.
There's a lot of things.
And the other thing for Teague's Super Bowl team, and I think Sean was saying this, so I agree with him, the fact that they got to that Super Bowl, for me at least, was enough. And I look back at that Raven team and how great they were. But it also reminds me that it's just a joke that Fossil never got another head coaching job. And I think it's good that we're acknowledging how his speech and everything he said there.
May he rest in peace.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite human beings I've ever met on the planet. Or now he's underground, but you know what I mean. Best person coach I've ever had because he believed in me.
I get that.
When nobody else wanted to.
I think that where the 2000 Giants are very special compared to every other team is every other team lost to somebody that can't be defined by just their name. And what I mean by that is the 2015 Kansas City Royals, okay.
Right.
The 2001 Arizona Diamondbacks, okay. Yeah, it is what it is. Even the 2000 Yankees, like, they won 87 games that year. They collapsed down the stretch. That was not the best of their teams.
Right.
The 2000 Ravens are iconic. You're the only one on this list that lost to a team that not just won a championship, of course.
It's top three in NFL history, defense-wise.
It's an iconic franchise.
Right.
It, that year will always be defined as it's 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens. And that's kind of special. I don't know if that makes you feel better.
We couldn't operate the way we operated with them, with their lineup.
Right.
They were constructed perfectly to defend what we did. And so we had, I don't want to say we had no chance, but we essentially only scored on a kickoff return.
Yeah.
Which they returned the next kickoff back.
Right.
So It got washed immediately.
No, I get you. Well, congratulations to the 2001 Yankees, the winner of Almost Champions. We'll get to some of your calls at 888-808-1019. And when we come back, we're about to enter NFL free agency. We are on the doorstep of it. Ah, goodness gracious. Earlier in the show, I guess it was about an hour ago, Sal Licata defeated Sean Morash in Tiki Jeopardy. And quite frankly, it was a mess. Sal did a good job. He got a lot of questions right, but he screwed up by saying not doing the who is or what if Jeopardy line.
Yes. Intellectually bankrupt.
So that kind of cost him a little bit. But in the end, he won, and I give him a lot of credit for that. So if you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. Also, if you're just tuning in, we got an update / non-update on Jalen Brunson. Basically, we found out his ankle isn't coming off. It's not a complete fracture. But, which is great. Like, that's good news. But we don't know the grade of the strain yet. Like, is it an ankle sprain grade 1, grade 2, grade 3? And that's a determination between being missing a week and missing 12 weeks.
And he has been ruled out tonight.
Yeah, clearly.
Obviously.
Thank you. So I don't know.
Not questionable?
No, they're not playing that game tonight. So I don't know when we're going to get that answer. We may not. The Knicks could just play this on a day-to-day basis. But obviously, Jalen Brunson spraining his ankle last night in the loss to the LA Lakers, and they are back in action tonight on the Clippers. More on that a little bit later on, and we'll play a little quarterback carousel coming up in just a few minutes, but let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019. Kevin is calling from Connecticut. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
We're good. What's happening?
Hey, well, you're talking about the countdown of the Almost Champions, and when you got to number one, I was kind of hoping that was going to be the case. I'm 55 years old, or will be in a month, and that was the most devastating Yankee loss of my life, even compared to the Red Sox loss in 04. And now I know other emotions were involved with 9/11. I mean, I get emotional even talking about it now, but that whole thing, we had everything. We came back in the ALCS down 2-0. We had these miraculous wins. The call from John Sterling, I agree, Evan, was probably his best call ever. I mean, I he didn't plan that, and he alluded back to, 1980, Al Michaels call.
Right, right.
It just fit. Everything fit. Now we have this. Young Kim was devastated. I can remember.
Right. We got to let you go because the phone's out. But that is the weird juxtaposition on the 0-1 Yankees. I mentioned this earlier. Mike once told me that was his most painful loss as a fan. Mm. And so Kevin just said that too, and I get it. But that team was so special. And the other thing is, I think Buster Olney wrote the book, The End of a Dynasty, or the what was the name of his book? I think The End of the Dynasty, The Night the Dynasty Ended. It is clearly that night. Like, everything about the Yankees changed.
The last night of the Yankee dynasty.
Last night of the Yankee dynasty.
And it's about that.
It's about that night, yes. And he's right, because even though in 02 they were good, and in 03 they're in the World Series, and they had success, there was something so special about it. That was the team where you needed to cut their head off, and they'd grow it right back.
Yeah.
They represented the dynasty, and it would have been the perfect ending to the dynasty to win that game and to win that series and to cap off what was an incredible run. Because that 2001 run, and you said it, Sean, it's a great point, probably provided more amazing memories than the rest of the dynasty combined.
Which is why I know I felt so disgusted after Game 7. I know I sat there so disheartened. But I got to tell you, is all these years have passed. This sounds nuts. It's going to be, you know, the Yankee fan screams. I almost don't view that as a World Series loss for the Yankees.
Yeah, because
really
you still love the team so much.
Right.
And you love the moments that you remember from that team.
And they've had a couple World Series losses since that bother me way more.
Jay is calling from Tinton Falls. Hey, Jay. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Good. What's up?
All right. First time calling, and I can't believe I got through so easily, so I'm a little off my game, so forgive me.
It's all good.
So during that run, I got married November 2nd of 01. So that was my wedding week, right?
Wow.
And you guys know how crazy that is.
Wow.
I had friends and family in from out of town. So those two nights of comebacks was just amazing, especially the second night. I was in my condo. I had like 20 of the friends. It was after rehearsal dinner, and that happened. I was screaming, running around my condo, saying, "God is a Yankee fan."
So, felt that way.
So game seven, right? That day, I landed in Cancun for our honeymoon. Mm. So I got all, you know, fired up, went up to the hotel room that night to watch Game 7. Lost Game 7, cried in my beer for like 10, 15 minutes, and then like, I got 10 days in Mexico.
Well, that's a great bounce back, man.
Right.
That Game 7, and I don't know if this will ever happen again, featured the greatest pitching matchup that you could ever get in a Game 7. Mm. And I don't know if we'll ever get that again. Two guys that should be in the Hall of Fame. They're not, but they clearly should be. Right. Roger Clemens for the New York Yankees. I have issues with Roger Clemens. He's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Curt Schilling, who is without question a Hall of Famer. Why he's not in, there are many theories. And oh, by the way, the guy that came out of the bullpen for the Yankees, Mariano Rivera, greatest closer of all time. And the guy that got four outs and the win, a fellow by the name of Randy Johnson.
Who pitched seven innings the night before.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, right. Like, there's no Game 7 that can match that. I know the Cubs and the Indians had a classic Game 7. Like, it was a classic game, but they didn't feature the names like that.
And,
you know what I mean?
And nor was it on the stage that this was on. Meaning New York after September 11th.
Right, and that is, of course.
It's just, it nothing can trump that.
Yeah. It's unique. Very, very unique. Let's go to Michael in East Andover. What's up, Michael?
What's going on?
All good.
What's up? First and foremost, I just wanted to talk about the Tiki Jeopardy. I thought that was all time. That was, I'm driving home from college right now just laughing so hard about some of the stuff.
I have a good time making these questions.
Like a bracket.
Right, we should. We actually should.
But
more to come.
Anyway, I wanted to really talk about Soto, and for argument's sake, let's say it was the Blue Jays that offered him the most money. I know why Juan Soto didn't accept the offer. It's because Toronto and Canada as a whole suck. They are horrible. Everything about it sucks. It's cold. The ballpark sucks. Right now, I'm on the parkway, driving behind a bus with an Ontario license plate. The guy looks like he got hit over the head with a rock.
Jeez, you're rough.
The guy that's running the government is an idiot.
Look,
who's Boomer talking about?
Who was he talking about? I don't know. It was
the guy running.
No.
Listen. Sean, first of all, we never need to supply context with a drop.
Somebody's going to remember on Tuesday when you played for the 50th time?
But my point is, you never need to supply context. In fact, I don't know what the context was.
Exactly.
I just know that I sent it to Tommy, and Tommy's like, perfect.
And all right, it fits Tiki, in certain spots. That's
Tiki,
all.
It's about the guy running Canada. All right, there you go.
Nice.
Is that even true?
Yeah, it was a Four Nations drop.
Oh. Why do you have to spoil that? That's the mystery of the drop.
He asked
the
question.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah, but you could have said, I don't know.
You know what? Never mind.
Yeah, you know what?
The guy that's running the government is an idiot.
Let's ask Tommy, who does such a great job deciding when to play drops like that. Do you think that context is needed, or do you think
absolutely not, because once you provide the context...
But I'm the curious type.
But it handcuffs me now because I can't use it for everything. I could only use it for the whoever, Prime Minister of Canada, whatever.
Yeah, we used
it. Are they prime ministers there? I don't know.
Yes, Prime Minister.
We used it initially for other government leaders,
correct,
which is part of what made it so funny.
It's vague.
Yeah, and you spoiled the whole thing.
Yeah, but why would...
What?
Oh, because he was going off on Canada. Oh, I got it.
Yes. By the way... Oh, we got breaking news. Go ahead. What do you got?
Yankee injury news.
Oh, Lord.
I hate spring training. I'm going to say this every time you break the glass and you say Yankees.
Does anybody want good Yankee injury
news? Yeah, it's going to be good.
Thank you.
All right.
Good Yankee injury news. Is it about Giancarlo?
Nope.
Damn it.
Is it about Clark Schmidt?
It is. Nice. 6 seconds ago from Brian Hoke. Clark Schmidt will remain behind in Tampa when the Yankees go north for opening day. He'll toss a sim game on March 28th. The plan is for him to start the Yanks' sixth game of the season on April 3rd versus the Diamondbacks. He should be built to 75-80 pitches per Aaron Boone.
That's good. That means he's ready for the start of the season.
Right. So he's not going to tip his cap to the crowd, but he'll be there, start of the season.
No, that's perfect.
Why is he staying back then?
Because the actual, to get him on where they need him for 75-80 pitches, the actual day they need him to toss a sim game, they want him down in the warm weather at Tampa. Opening day.
No, that makes sense.
It just means he's going to be ready for the start of the season.
Right.
Obviously, he doesn't need to be ready for opening day. The opening day starter is Gerrit Cole. He doesn't need to be ready for the second day of the year. Mm-hmm. The second day starter is Max Fried.
Right.
Yeah, we needed this.
No, it's great news.
We need good news.
Good to see.
All right, I like spring training.
We're back.
We shouldn't forget how good he was last year, prior to the injury and after the injury. He's a hell of an arm, and the Yankees could use him, so it's nice to have some good injury news, that's for sure. Let's go to Adam in Roxbury. How are you, Adam?
What's up, Adam?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good.
I got to tell you a compliment. I'm not even a big sports fan anymore, but I just like listening to you guys.
I appreciate that, Adam. Thank you,
listen,
man.
Listen, I have a story that's going to change everybody's view of 2001.
Okay, go ahead.
It's from Mariano's mouth. I actually had the pleasure of having a dinner with him, a very small private dinner with him. So, you remember the Yankees broke and went west, and they were up 3-2.
Yes.
Right? Pettit blows up in game 6.
Yep, 14-1 right, or something.
And then we go to game 7. Blows up. And so,
the close.
Yankees players had planned, hey, we're going to win, and we're going to have a parade. And no, then we're going to go our separate ways to our home countries and states and whatnot after we come back from Arizona. Do you remember there was a second plane crash in New York right around that time?
I do. Very vividly, it was in Queens.
Yeah.
I was scared half to death,
right,
because it was a month after 9/11. My dad is a CPA. He's always in Queens. I hear this, and then I try to call my parents, and the phone lines went down just like 9/11.
Yeah.
So that, what you bringing that up, is like, it's incredibly vivid in my head. I don't know how many people remember it, but yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Check this out. I don't know why this isn't more out there. So I was lucky enough to have dinner with Mariano. We talked about that inning. And he said that was the best play I ever made, throwing the ball away. I've done that 1,000 times in my career. I've never thrown that ball away. So one of his good friends on that team was Enrique Wilson, if you remember him.
Mm-hmm.
So Enrique Wilson's from the Dominican Republic. Now, that plane was going to the Dominican Republic. He had him and his family booked on that plane.
Oh, my God.
In anticipation, the Yankees are going to win, go to the parade, and he's going to fly home the next day.
Are you serious?
So Mariano is a very religious man and so classy. It was just such an awesome, incredible experience getting to speak with him, dinner with the guy. He says, if I make that throw, we win. We go to the parade, my friends and family are on that plane.
Unbelievable. Wow. That is a crazy, crazy story. Thank you very much for the call. I mean, I've never heard that before.
No.
Do remember that plane going down.
Yeah, so do I. Because I lived on the Upper East Side then. I mean, that was...
Yeah.
It's a deep story.
It was very... Because remember on 9/11 how you couldn't call anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Like, every phone line went down. So when every single person tried to communicate with their loved ones, because that's, of course, the first thing you're doing, you couldn't do it for, like, I think it was more than a day.
Yeah.
I don't even think it was a few hours. It was all day. And the same thing happened on that day a month later when that plane went down. Because I remember, it may have been more than a month later. I forget the exact. It was probably a few months later since he's describing it after the World Series. And it was the same thing.
Yeah.
It's such a helpless feeling when you're trying to call people and you don't hear anything. Incredible. Thank you very much for that phone call. Let's go to Tim in Jackson. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing great. Lifelong Giant fan, lifelong Yankee fan. 2001 Yankees broke my heart. I will still never get over it. And that's considering after the 2000 Super Bowl, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and threw up. But what nobody's talking about is, if you remember, Game 5, before the Brocious home run, top of the ninth, we're serenading the retiring Paul O'Neill.
Yes.
While the Diamondbacks were up. It was almost going to be the final send-off to the great Paul O'Neill and everything. And when Brosh hit the home run, it's like, oh, Paul O'Neill's going out with a World Series ring. I remember an interview with Mark Grace, and it was the coolest thing he's ever seen in all of baseball. But everybody's forgetting that part about the Yankee fans losing and serenading Paul O'Neill on thanking him for his great career.
It was actually surreal, because remember O'Neill had a tough time not crying.
Yeah.
He's sitting there in right field trying to, like, play a World Series game, and the crowd is chanting his name. Paul O'Neill. Is it? It was Paul O'Neill?
Paul O'Neill.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's wiping away the tears with his glove.
Oh, I know. It's a part of why that team really is so unique and so special. Even though I get it, and we've heard it from a few Yankee fans, worst loss they ever suffered. I always wonder, hopefully someday I'll get this, when you win three in a row, does not win
yeah, you'll
the
never,
fourth.
You're never going to get that.
Of all the teams I root for, which one gives me the best shot at
that? It's the Mets, but it's not going to happen. Not with the Dodgers in the NL.
No, and not just with baseball being baseball. I think that's the other thing about that Yankee team. So there have been some good teams.
That team or that dynasty.
That dynasty.
Yeah, the fact that it lasted for so long is improbable.
It's really improbable, because one of the arguments we've had in modern baseball when you and I talk about the Dodgers is I always dismiss them. Mm-hmm. And I don't dismiss them because they're bad. I don't dismiss them because they're flawed. I say to you, best of five, someone will pick them off. It's baseball.
Right. Almost happened last year.
Almost happened last year and happened the year before. It happens all the time. How come that didn't happen to the Yankees? Like, think about it. They were never getting picked off. Meanwhile, in baseball today, no matter how loaded you are, how good you are, you run into that you never know factor. And those guys were like, they were.
I wonder why that is.
Upset proof.
It's got to be that by and large, the product has gotten, like, players have just gotten better across the board. So there's not as many outliers. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
I think
that the Yankees had that long, and it wasn't like it was, oh, this was in the 60s and the 80s. This was 20 years ago.
And it was also a similar format to what we have now. I know we just added the wild card series,
right. But
it's the same divisional series, LCS, World Series. I don't think it's the players. I think it's their players. That team was very special.
Mm.
And one of the problems that the modern Yankees have is that they always get compared to them, and it's unfair. They're just not them. That's a dynasty.
Yeah.
There are very few dynasties in the history of sports. They don't grow on trees. They're very unique. And even though you can go player by player and say, Al Cintron texted me this the other day. He's like, hey, Nomar versus Jeter in their prime. What do you think? And I was like, oh, Al.
Mm.
I did this in high school and I was such an idiot. I would say, well, Nomar, look at his stats. Nomar. And then it took me a couple of years of the Yankees winning year after year after year, of Nomar sitting on his ass when he was hurt July 1st, 2004. Mm-hmm. And Jeter is running into the stands breaking his face. Right? While Nomar sits there, it took me a while, but the numbers never told the story. Jeter was always better than Nomar. I don't care what the numbers say, but it took me a while to realize that. That's the dynastic Yankees.
Right.
You can look at the numbers all you want. Doesn't matter. They just kept winning.
Right.
That's what they did. Sean's got a Cinco de Fivo, and then we play a game of quarterback carousel.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive.
Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.